Our speaker for this evening is One Angel on Earth, and I believe this is also her theme song. She's been working for God for a lot of years. She expresses herself so well that you can feel her thoughts. And as you know, I live my life by my feelings, so I enjoy when I hear her speak. And I think she's going to share with us an experience that she had just a short time ago. And it may be just to make us jealous, because she got to do it and we didn't. But it's our Lindy.
Good evening. And thank you for that generous applause. Even if I had to beg. No?
No.
Thank you.
See how she yelled at me? No. Did you hear that, everybody?
No.
Really? She only asked the question.
Oh, stop thinking up for her just because you like her.
How about I say no thank you instead? You know, I've been to the Kentucky Derby twice, but I never actually sat on one of the racehorses. I've been to a Super Bowl, but I never sat on the bench or played middle linebacker. I've been to 3 Major League Baseball All-Star games, but nobody asked me to play first base. I'm a pretty good first baseman. I love spectator sports. But what could be better than being a spectator? Sitting right down on that horse. Being right in that game. So when I had an opportunity to go to the Iditarod and actually sit in the sled for the first 11 miles of the run, I jumped at it. And tonight I want to share with you what I call Iditagod stories. Because my Iditarod experience was one big, long God story, and it was fun, too, as God stories are wont to be. Last year, around the middle of the summer, I said to my friends, I want to go to the Iditarod in 2008. And the God story is my friends talked me out of it. My friend said, why don't you go in 2007, Lindy? You're not getting any younger. Well, they were a little more, maybe more kind than that, but not much. And I said, why don't I go in 2007? So I made my reservations, and part of the God story is I have cousins that live in Anchorage. So I called my cousins and I said, I want to go to the Iditarod in 2007. And they said, bring it on. Just come. Cousin Marcia said, just come. You can live at our house. Well, with that hotel out of the way, I booked myself a first class ticket. And the God story is I could afford it at the time. Then I decided not only would I go to the Iditarod, but I would try. No, I wasn't going to try. There is no try. There is only do. Thank you, Yoda. I was going to bid on and win an opportunity to become what they call an Iditarider. The Iditarider program has been around since about 1995, and its purpose is to give 75 or 80 fans a thrill and to raise money for the Iditarod. Now, the Iditarod Trail Committee is a nonprofit organization. Everybody who runs the Iditarod is certainly not in it for profit. The winner gets $69,000 and a Dodge truck, and they pay prize money to everyone who competes. First place gets $69,000. It's scaled down to 30th place, who gets $1,800. And everybody after 30th place gets $1,049. symbolically representing the distance of the Iditarod, which is really closer to 1150 than to 1050, but the 1049 honors the spirit of the gold rush, which wasn't in 49 in Alaska anyway, it was in California, but, you know, whatever. Suffice it to say that they sold rides on the sleds for money to pay the mushers. This year, the Iditarider program raised $174,000. Now, my Iditarider experience was a God story, and I credit my mother with directly intervening from heaven, where she had just gone days before the Iditarod auction ended. The way you buy a ride on a sled is at auction on the internet. Now, there are several strategies. Mine were learned, honed on eBay. Trust me, the Iditarider auction is unlike eBay, but I didn't know that at the time, and my strategy worked.
Excuse me, what's an Iditarod?
Oh, good point. Good point, Ruthie. Some of you might not know. The Iditarod is a race of dog sleds from Anchorage, Alaska to Nome, Alaska, a distance of approximately 1,150 miles. They run it every year that starts the first Saturday in March and goes until it's finished. And the last mushers crossed the finish line at 3 o'clock this morning, some 17 days later. There were 55 or 56 finishers out of a field of 82 this year. And more about that later. But the way you get a chance to ride in the sled for the first 11 miles of this expedition is internet auction. Now, the God story part of it is that I won my musher by bidding once. I placed one bid. One. And then the day the auction closed, I stood around and watched it close 20 minutes. It took from the time the auction started closing till the time my musher was mine, 20 minutes. And I was standing over my laptop using the wireless network at the Office Depot in Bakersfield, California. So 20 minutes later, I'm an Iditarider, you know, it's pretty easy. Now, the way I chose the musher that I would bid on was basically I said, God, tell me who to bid on. And I picked the one that looked the most interesting and the nicest. And I got the one that was the most interesting and the nicest. My mother made it happen that I got him for about $800 below the average bid price, which wasn't too shabby. So I took that $800, that was fouled money, of course, went straight to the outfitters on 4th Avenue in downtown, or 6th Avenue, actually, in downtown Anchorage, where they were having a 50% off sale. How's that for a God story? So I got a new down parka, new down pants, new long underwear, new neoprene face mask, keep the face warm in the sled, knew everything for half price. And the God story was even better because the expensive trousers that I tried on didn't fit as well as the inexpensive ones. So God was in action. Now, I had a lot of adventures in my week in Anchorage, one of which was going to the musher toast. Sounds a little strange, but every year they have a musher meeting, and then as a reward for sitting in the meeting for 3 hours, they give them a glass of beer if they want it, or apple cider if they choose that. And the Alaska breweries, who are one of the major sponsors of the race, offers up a toast for a safe journey for all mushers and dog teams. And it just so happened that they had a few beers left over, and they started passing them out to the crowd. So I actually even participated in the toast. Now, at that time, I was all in favor of safe journey for the mushers and the dog. Today. At that time, I met my musher, Dan Hutton, and I call him my musher. He was one of the 82 mushers in the race, but he was, to me, mine. I was his Iditarider. And he was a genuinely nice man. I couldn't have chosen better if I had done it consciously, without God's intervention and my mother. It so happened that at that, we had Costco pizza for lunch with our mushers. And as I sat down with my musher at a table, I noticed that two champions were sitting at my table, the rock stars of the Iditarod, if you will. For those of you who carefully follow mushing, you'll know these names, Martin Boozer and Rick Swenson. Martin Boozer has won the Iditarod 4 times, and Rick Swenson has won the Iditarod 5 times, the only 5-time winner. And there they were, eating pizza out of the same box. Be still my heart. I do have one friend who lives in Ohio who considers that the same level of thrill as I do. And I spoke with him on Sunday last week. And he was so jacked up about the fact that I had pizza with Martin Boozer and Rick Swenson. You can't even imagine it. Of course you can't imagine it. You don't even know who Martin Boozer and Rick Swenson are.
Are they single?
No, but Martin Boozer's cute. I'll show you a picture. Yep. I actually had my picture taken with Martin Boozer later.
Did she call him a boozer?
Yeah. That's his name. I don't know if he's a boozer by name and boozer by nature, but he is boozer by name. So anyway, there was a banquet that night that we were scheduled to go to, and I had paid for the tickets for me, my cousins. And I went to pick up the banquet tickets, and they were lost. They had a record of me having paid for them, but they didn't have any tickets. And the banquet was, which is 1,800 people in the hockey arena, was sold out. All 1,800 tickets were sold out. So she said, come back later. And I went back an hour later. And I sat down, and I was just being calm and expecting God to take care of me. And she had 7 VIP tickets that hadn't been picked up yet. And this gentleman and his wife and their 2 children came in, and the 2 children were Iditariders also. And the 4 of them said, well, we thought that the banquet was included in the Iditarider program, which for as much money as they paid for it, it probably should have been. 2. Wow. Anyway, they said, and then we made reservations too late, and we were hoping to get tickets on a standby basis. And I said, well, they need 4, and I need 3, and that equals 7. And they allowed us how, if we took the tickets and ran so that nobody could catch them giving them to us, we were good to go. And so we were. And they were VIP tickets, and we sat in the front row of the banquet closest to the lectern so that we had a good view of all the mushers coming up to the platform and leaving the platform. God is well, alive and well in Anchorage, Alaska. So the next night, there was a fundraiser, another banquet, to get more money out of us because we hadn't given enough yet. It's kind of like giving blood, you know. If a pint is good, a gallon is better. And at the fundraiser, my cousin and I had an opportunity to bid on lots of Iditarod memorabilia, most of which was unappealing to me because I have artwork all over my walls already and don't need more autographed photographs or drawings of dogs. But I wanted to buy an autograph for some reason. I wanted it. So I bid on what they call cachets, which are mail that has actually traveled the Iditarod Trail with the mushers in the sleds. They're required to carry the mail. If they get to Nome without it, they can be disqualified. So this mail is hand-canceled in Anchorage and then hand-canceled again in Nome. And basically it's an empty envelope with some kind of a design on it for the Iditarod of that year and then a place for the carried by signature. And I bid on the first one that came available, which was autographed by last year's winner, Jeff King. And I bid $100. Now, that's pretty stupid, but it's a fundraiser, right? And besides, I'm still spending this $800 that I had left over. So I bid $100, and the auctioneer said, going once to the lady, going twice to the lady, and then suddenly behind me comes up another bidder card, and the bid is 110, and I'm, you know, 2 seconds away from winning this thing, and the bid is 110. And I was so surprised that I didn't bid 120, and besides, I thought 100 was kind of exorbitant for what it was. So then, it was a 10-year-old kid who was bidding behind me. And his grandfather, you know, Deep Pockets grandpa. So the next one came up for bid, and I bid 120, going once to the lady, going twice to the lady. 130. So after that, the people at my table got together and said, you should go and talk to him. You should go and talk to Grandpa and see, you know, if he'll let you win one. Well, I thought, that's kind of strange, but it's a pretty good idea. So I went over to Grandpa and I said, how much do I have to bid to win one of these? And he said, it's a fundraiser. In exactly that tone of voice. It's a fundraiser. Well, you know, what was I supposed to say to that? So I said, okay, I guess that means the sky's the limit. And after that, it became clear that they were going to bid and buy every cachet that was up for auction. And it became clear to me that I could do one of two things. I could get angry and be resentful for something that I didn't really care if I won or not. Or I could make him pay. So I bid up until $400 on every single one of them, and he paid $400 for every single one of them after that. He wrote a check for $2,500 that night. And I walked away with a good feeling because God had been on my side. I had had the fun of bidding. I'd raised a lot of money for the Iditarod Trail Committee. And it was a fundraiser. It was a fundraiser, and it hadn't cost me a cent. The true God story is that of the 8 or 10 of them that came up for bid, the one that I decided I wanted was an autograph of Charlie Boulding. This week, I bought a Charlie Boulding cachet on eBay for $29. Thank you, God. Now, I talked a little bit about the shopping expedition to the 6th Avenue Outfitters and all this stuff that I bought. The day of the actual race, Saturday morning, March 3rd, I had to put it all on. You put on your long underwear, and then you put on your turtleneck long sleeve shirt, and then you put on your vest, and then you put on your fleece jacket over that, and then you put on your down pants over your long underwear, and then you put on your parka over all of that. You put on your hat. You put on your face mask. And the God story is, I could still walk. But it didn't really matter because I didn't have to walk far. God made us a parking space within 20 yards of where the musher was parked. So all I had to do was get out of the car, walk across the street, basically, and get in the sled. And another God story, I never slipped and fell on the snow or ice once in a week of walking around Anchorage. Another God story, on Friday, March 2nd, it was about 12 degrees and the wind was blowing about 30 miles an hour with gusts to 45. On Saturday, March 3rd, it was about 12 degrees with no wind. Thank you, God. On Sunday, at the restart where they dump their Iditariders and take off for real, there was also no wind. So we had a great, great time there. If there's a downside to my story, it has to do with my musher, who was unfortunately not able to share quite so much of my magic as I did. And he scratched out of the race on the third day, which means he was unable to continue. His story is horrifying, and I just learned it today when I got a printout of an email that he sent to everybody who he was trying to be in contact with. He says, when we arrived at Rainy Pass checkpoint, the ambient temperature was minus 20, and the wind was blowing 30 and gusting 40. The checker said that the race officials wanted all mushers to know that winds in the pass were estimated at 80 to 90. I decided I would stay a while and see what the weather was going to do. The next morning, the weather was still atrocious, but was forecast to lay down later in the evening or early morning. So I decided to continue after taking his 24-hour rest stop right there. I wanted to go down Dalzell Gorge in the daylight, so I pulled the hook from Rainy at 6:01 the next morning. Now, sled dogs want to run, and if you hook them onto the gang line, they're going to start. They think it's time to go. So pulling the hook means pulling up the anchor. You have to actually put a hook in the snow, in the ice, in the ground to keep the dogs from running off with the sled without you. By the way, this happened at least once in this year's Iditarod where the sled dogs took off without the musher. One of them was the occasion of the ceremonial honorary mushers going along the trail. It's kind of a convoluted long story, but Susan Butcher, who won the Iditarod 4 times, died of leukemia last year. Her daughter, 13-year-old daughter Tekla, mushed her dog team 700 miles along part of the Iditarod Trail. Tekla had the experience of her dog team going off without her. And this is from her dad's point of view. He's watching, and he's horrified. The dogs are just running. And Tekla hollered out, and the dog team turned around and came back to her. So she's got her mother's genes. But dogs do tend to leave. Last year, when Jeff King won, his dog team ran off without him, and he hollered out to his lead dog, Salem Woe, and the dog team stopped, and he was able to catch up to them. But Dan didn't have that problem. He just pulled the hook and headed for the pass. The wind in the pass was a steady 40 to 50 or so, but it was definitely doable, and the dogs weren't fazed by it. As we rounded a little knob near the peak of the pass, a capital B, capital I, capital G gust, maybe 70 to 80, question mark, hit us from the side, and the sled and I were blown over sideways. At one point during the tumble, I felt like an ice pick had just been stuck in the calf of my right leg. Once we stopped tumbling, I set the ice hooks in the rock-hard snow and went to untangle the wheel dogs, but I couldn't walk that far. The way my calf felt, I was pretty sure something was very much not right. Yeah. Well, it turned out that he has a torn calf muscle. He had to scratch from the race because he wasn't able to maneuver at all. Had he continued, he could have done irreparable damage to his leg. And now he's in a removable walking cast for 6 weeks. And if he doesn't overdo it and cause more damage, he'll be fully healed in about 4 months. It was Dan's first Iditarod experience, and hopefully it won't be his last. But I was fully understanding of such adventures because I read Gary Paulson's wonderful book, Winter Dance, The Fine Madness of Running the Iditarod. You have to be crazy to do it, and once you've done it, it becomes an addiction, and you become even crazier. But Gary Paulson tells horror stories. I would highly recommend this book to anybody. It's a very easy read. He's the author of several award-winning young adult books, and while this isn't considered a young adult book, it's that readable. I wanted to also share, though, the magic did go to Lance Mackey, the winner of this year's race. His own God story is that his father won the race in 1978, the sixth time he tried the Iditarod, and wearing bib number 13. They all wear numbers on their bibs. Lance's brother Rick won the Iditarod in 1983, his sixth attempt, wearing bib number 13. This year was Lance's sixth attempt, and he drew number 13. So he believed, and rightly so, that he was destined to win. So he made it happen. He won the Iditarod. And he didn't care so much about winning the Iditarod, but he was ecstatic about winning the new Dodge truck. Lance, for those of you who never heard of him, is also a cancer survivor. So he couldn't eat any, he had salivary gland, cancer in the salivary glands. So he couldn't eat anything for the last 200 miles of the race, because if he ate, he had to drink in order to swallow. And if he drank, he had to stop, and there were mushers on his heels. So he kept running. I never give a talk anymore without quoting the Bible and a country song. The Bible quotes come from Alaska Airlines, courtesy of Alaska Airlines. When you fly first class, you get a meal. It's not what it used to be, but it is a meal. And on your lunch tray or dinner tray, there's a little prayer card. And I got four of these, two legs each way, and two of them were the same, so I have three to share. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Psalm 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 107. I would be remiss, given the amount of God stories I've shared with you tonight, if I didn't honor each and every one of these, give praise and thanksgiving to God. Because I had a fabulous experience. I got to do something that many people only dream about. Even after 50-some-odd finishers in this year's race, it is still true that more people have climbed Mount Everest and summited than have finished the Iditarod. Because they don't count the people twice. If it's one person, they can run it 50 times and they only count as one. And people have run it 25 times in the 35-year history of the race. But I had an experience that people don't usually have. I got down on the horse in the Kentucky Derby. I started playing middle linebacker in the Super Bowl. And I took a little first base for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, or the metaphorical equivalent thereof. The country song, I had to really reach for this one. It's called Red Dirt Road by Brooks and Dunn. And the first two lines are, it's where I drank my first beer, it's where I found Jesus. Well, okay, so it wasn't my first beer. And I can tell you right now, it won't be my last. And I didn't find Jesus, because Jesus was never lost. But I found hope, and I found faith, and I found love, and I found joy. I found true joy. And I went to the dogs. So we can live life as spectators and just admire and respect, or we can live life as participants and play and be joyful in it. And I choose the latter. How about you? And thanks for giving me this time. Now, I did bring pictures. So you can pass this, we can pass this binder around. It sort of tells the story.
Well, Mindy, I always knew about the races, but that's the first time I ever heard them called Iditarod.
Yep, you know, pronounce it. See, the tricky word to pronounce. And that's our Lindy. Lindy that everybody loves.